and all. You are listening to the College Try Podcast. I'm your host, Austin Price, and I'm going to be your host for the entirety of this college football season. This is a new podcast brought to you by ESPN Pensacola, 99.1 FM, 1330 AM. I'm very excited to be doing this show. I feel like a teacher on the first day of school, and that's not meant to be a stroke of my ego. I just feel like, you know, I'm going around and saying, hey, this is me. This is what I do. This is what I'm all about. But I am going to, you know, all jokes aside, I am going to give a quick little rundown of myself. So my name is Austin Price. I've been doing sports writing, including at the college football level, for about 4 years now. November will make 4 years since I've been doing sports writing. And I have been an afternoon talent for News Radio 92.3 on their show Pensacola Right Now from 4 to 7. So if you've tuned in, I appreciate you for listening. Been doing that for the better part of a year now. October will make a year of that. And if you have listened to that show for even just half an hour, you will know that I am a big sports guy. College football is my first love. And with the season on the horizon, nobody, and I mean literally nobody, is more hyped for the season than I am. So I'm very happy to have this opportunity here. I will say, funny enough, I was actually not going to do this episode this week. The original plan was for me to, but then it's like, okay, some things behind closed doors kind of got some feet where, you know, we're being dragged. It's like, okay, we're not going to get it on time. And it was like, okay, well, we may not do it, but it's whatever. You know, we've got this next Saturday to work with, and then we've got the week leading up to that before college football officially begins. So I was like, it may not be the end of the world, but we've got everything set up. And most importantly, the AP preseason poll came out today. So I figured, okay, well, why not start now? Let's get this underway, because we've got a big thing to talk about. And speaking of the AP preseason poll, a lot of people will tell you that it's not important, or that it doesn't mean anything, because getting late into the season, the College Football Playoff Committee and their top 25 takes over. So ultimately, the AP holds no weight. And that is true. However, the foundation for the season and the rankings and the hierarchy of college football is set every year by the AP, because for the first half of the season, it's the AP's way or the highway. That's the way it goes. And when you look at the AP's rankings, it upsets a lot of people because of how much of an impact it has. Alabama's ranked 5th in the AP preseason poll. If they lose a game early in the season, they're most likely going to stay ranked after losing. But say a more humble team, such as my own Wake Forest Demon Deacons, if we win a game, a big one that we weren't expected to win, we could have a better record and obviously a more quality performance early in the year than Alabama. But we won't be ranked, most likely. Alabama will. So other than extreme circumstances, Alabama would be getting ranked higher for nothing, because, hey, they just so happen to be higher in the preseason poll. So the poll holds a lot of weight early. It's how we judge these teams in the first half of the season. And that's why it upsets many people when the AP gets it wrong, and they get it wrong every year. And I'm just going to warn you right now before we dive into this, they got it wrong this time. Not being mean, being honest. I fly off the handle at times. I get very passionate about this stuff. I don't know if I'm going to do that tonight, because this is a pretty mild topic. We're just getting started. The college football season hasn't even begun yet. But looking at this AP top 25, I do see some teams that I'm not really thrilled with their placement. So let's get right into it. We're going to look at the top 10. Most people prioritize the top 10. We are no different. Those are the numbers of the guys that tip the scale, right? Nobody cares who's ranked 22nd when the AP preseason poll drops. They care who's ranked in the top 10, because that's, especially now with this 12-team playoff, those are supposed to be the favorites and the hopefuls. There's no schmucks in the top 10, or at least there's not supposed to be. All right, so getting underway here with our top 10, I'm actually going to save us a lot of time. 1 through 5, I believe, is perfect. I look at Georgia. They're number 1 in the country. I look at what they did last year. I look at what they've done for me lately. I look at their schedule. I look at everything about Georgia. We have no reason to doubt them as a favorite. The only team that would consistently get in their way was Alabama. And the heart and soul of that program, Nick Saban, is gone. Is Alabama still going to be good? Absolutely. It's hard for them to suck. But Georgia was owned by Saban. Now that he's gone, now that the Gladiator's out of the building, who's standing in Georgia's way? I honestly don't know who. Secondly, we have Ohio State. Thirdly, we have Oregon. And fourthly, we have Texas. These are teams that I said weeks ago on Pensacola Right Now, just in a sports discussion, because we talk about sports daily. I said Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, and Texas, in no particular order, are my four favorites to be in the title hunt. So I'm glad that the AP agrees. It seems like just about everybody agrees. That's the consensus. So 1 through 4, I've got no issues with. Fifth is Alabama, as I said before. Alabama lost Nick Saban, but they've got a great coach, Kalen DeBoer, to succeed him. Now, Alabama has a tough schedule, and I think that's one of the reasons why they're kind of sitting just a teeny tiny bit lower than we would expect of them. But I think all things considered, they're still going to be a darn good team. Them being fifth, I have no problem with. I would love to see them fail. That's one thing you're going to have to learn about me. I am a professional Alabama hater. I don't let it bleed into my journalism, but I do let it bleed into my casual conversation. But I got to give them credit where it's due. Alabama has the potential to be really great and to pick up right where Saban left off with Kalen DeBoer. So they're fifth, they're fine. So look at that. We're already halfway through the top 10, and there's no problems. Then we have our first question mark, the Ole Miss Rebels. Okay, so I can already hear it. It's in my headphones. I can hear people getting defensive, tensing up, you know, kind of saying, okay, hold on a minute, mister. Ole Miss won 11 games last year. Yes, that was their best season ever. You understand that, right? Ole Miss has never won 11 games in a season, I don't believe, until last season. And now we're just supposed to look at them as a title contender? Heck, I mentioned my Wake Forest Demon Deacons earlier. They had 11 wins in 2021. Nobody looked at us as title contenders. Your win count, how good you did for one season, means nothing to me. If you are a perennially good team and you have one great season by your standard, and you still finish with a couple of losses, and you still play in the toughest conference in college football, how the heck am I supposed to look at you as a team to watch as a contender? That doesn't really add up to me. But you know what? Hey, great last season, gonna be good this season. We'll keep them where they are. That's the gray area, all right? We don't have any problems with that, at least enough for me to get on a soapbox about it. But the same cannot be said for number 7. We've got Notre Dame. So here's the deal with Notre Dame. And this is what the social media conversation has been ever since this dropped. Right away, like I'm talking snap of the finger, first responses. What is Notre Dame doing so high? This team is overrated every year. And they are. That's not my take. That's not me being a jerk. That is what they are. Notre Dame is overrated every year. You're not going to be in the top 7 by the end of the year if you are winning 9 or 10 games at best. That is a good season. Number 7 is for a great team. So why are you here? And a lot of people say that Notre Dame, I think I've seen the narrative before, oh, well, they have an easy schedule. It may be easy if the stars are aligning with teams sucking at this time or that time. But Notre Dame, as far as who they have on paper, no, I give them credit where it's due. They get on the phone. But if anything, that's all the more reason for why they would struggle. They've lost Sam Hartman. He did not increase in skill set by going from Wake Forest to Notre Dame. They now have Riley Leonard. Especially with him being injury prone, how are we supposed to promise that he's going to hit new heights at Notre Dame after coming from Duke? Marcus Freeman? What, he's been there for a couple of years. He had a 9-win season, a 10-win season. What makes you think he's going to be a title contender now? He's sitting at good. The team is good. The coach is good. The quarterback's good with concerns. How does that equate to I'm a top 7 team? They're riding on brand. They've done it for years. That's the first team that you're going to hear me draw a line in the sand on. Number 8, we have Penn State. A lot of people are probably thinking, Austin, you better draw another line, because what the heck is Penn State doing here? They're consistently the third best team in their conference and on a good year. Well, I think Penn State jumped 5 spots to number 8 for the same reason Ohio State jumped 8 spots to number 2. Michigan's out of the way. They are seeing a great change in their circumstances. If Penn State plays as good as they can, as good as they have, they can very easily be the second best team in the Big Ten. If they get a stunner over OSU, which could very much happen, if they beat Ohio State, who's beating them in the Big Ten? I think that's a fair question. Who's beating Penn State if Ohio State can't in the Big Ten? Most likely nobody. So I'm cool with Penn State being here. They've proven that they have potential. They don't lay an egg against underwhelming opponents like Marcus Freeman's Fighting Irish have done in the past. They just get beat. They get outplayed by bigger dogs, bigger fish, Ohio State, Michigan. One of those dogs is out of the way, and we've got an expanded playoff now. Look out for Penn State. Number nine, speaking of that fish that all of a sudden became a guppy, we got ourselves Michigan. Michigan, I'm going to make a hot take. Michigan is only here because of what they did last season. I firmly believe that. Take away 15-0. Take away Jim Harbaugh. Take away just the dream season and beating Penn State and Ohio State and Bama, just steamrolling Washington. Take them away. Take that all away. That's what they did last year. That's not coming to this year. We don't have Jim Harbaugh now. That 15-0 season, we're back down to 0-0. Those 15 wins mean nothing. We are resetting. New identity, new culture in Michigan. And it's a controversial one. So with it being shaky already, how are we supposed to look at Michigan and say, oh, well, yeah, you're going to be a top 10 team? I just don't see it. There is nothing about Michigan that implies top 10 material. Not now. I think this is the little slab of decency that the AP and AP voters are cutting off for Michigan, saying, hey, hell of a run last year. We love you. Thanks for coming out. I honestly think that's why Michigan's here. I don't think there's too much substance beyond that that gets them this high of a ranking. Then we have Florida State. So Florida State, oh, geez, where do I even begin? All right, so FSU, they round out the top 10. They are number 10. I'm going to tell you right now, just short, straight, and to the point, this is deserved. Florida State has a very easy schedule next year. They play Clemson, who we're going to get to in a bit, and they play Notre Dame, who, as I said, is good right now. Let's say they lose one of those games. There's a very real chance they don't lose anymore. At the absolute worst, FSU's a 10-win team. Absolute worst. This is a team that's going to linger around that lower-end playoff status, and they're going to have a real, very real chance to win the ACC. I firmly believe that as well. So Florida State, if they can win 10, 11 games in the regular season, they'll easily be top 10, easily. And if they win the ACC, they're a shoe-in, and it's very likely that that'll happen. So for them to be below names like Ole Miss and Penn State, I'm all for it. Sure, they may take a step back. They're not going to finish the regular season unbeaten. But they're still going to linger. So I'll give that to FSU. So to recap, the top 10, Georgia's fine. Ohio State's fine. Oregon's fine. Texas is fine. Bama's fine. Ole Miss too high. Notre Dame too high. Penn State fine. Michigan probably the most too high. And Florida State in that ballpark of 10th, maybe a little bit lower. But outside of that, they're fine. So what's that mean here? 70%? You got 7 out of 10 teams right, AP? I would say that's pretty good. The AP standards, especially, man, you're going to hear an earful from me when we get into the season. When we get into the regular season, I'm going to talk your ears off when it comes to the AP poll. They are going to butcher this. So right now, 70%, that's a C student. 7 out of 10 for the top 10 is not too bad. You messed up with Ole Miss, Notre Dame, and Michigan. Looking at some of these other teams, Missouri is 11th. That's fine. Utah is 12th. They took a step back, but now they've got Cam Rising returning. That's fine. They're one of the favorites to win the Big 12. LSU, 13th. That's fine. They've lost talent, but they're an NFL factory with one of the better head coaches in America, Brian Kelly. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Number 14, Clemson. Ooh. You're going to notice that this is one of the biggest leaps in this part of the poll. Clemson is 6 spots higher than where they last were in the AP poll. So they were hardly even top 20. They were just lingering at top 20 threshold. Now you've got them in the top 15. I wish I could talk to the AP voters that made this call. They've got 689 votes. Oh my goodness. I wish I could talk and just ask why. What? And I promise you, I'm not letting my Wake Forest love bleed in here. Why is Clemson ranked in the top 15? What the heck have they done in the last few years that implies they're top 15 material? Do you know why people say that the ACC dynasty of Clemson's is dead? Do you know why they say that? And we're talking ACC here. We're not talking nationally. Forget nationally. The ACC, as far as Clemson is concerned, is open season. NC State has a chance. Va Tech, a lot of people say, is a dark horse. Miami has an easy schedule. More on that later. Florida State just won the conference, going unbeaten. Louisville just won 10 games. They're in the ACC title game last season. Clemson, of the last three ACC title games, forget winning them, they haven't made them. They made it in. They didn't make it in 2021. Wake Forest did. They made it in 2022 and they won. Great. And then they didn't make it in 2023. Two of the last three ACC title games, Clemson has not even been represented in. And last year started with a blowout loss, 28-7 to Duke. Lose at home to Florida State, losing to them for the first time in about a decade. You struggled with Wake Forest. Wake didn't have an offense. You host Wake. I believe it was your homecoming game. Don't quote me on that. You were favored by like 20 or so points. You win 17-12. You ended up losing to Miami for the first time in like over a decade. You finished with your worst record for the first time in over a decade. I believe, like, are you serious? You were good last year. You've been good the last few years. You're not great. Not when compared to what we've seen from you. But you're top 15. Again, 12-team playoff. And what's Clemson? The second highest ranked ACC team? So you have them as a favorite to fight for the ACC title and make the playoff. I haven't seen it. At least not consistently. But I've seen a downward trajectory. One of their best players on offense last year was Will Shipley. He's now in Philly playing for the Eagles. You don't even have him anymore. A narrative against Dabo Swinney has always been, this is what Clemson looks like when they don't have an elite QB. Sure, you look pretty darn good with Deshaun Watson. You look pretty darn good with Trevor Lawrence, two of the greatest quarterbacks of their generation, two of the better ones of all time. Yeah, sure, you look great with them. But when you have a Kelly Bryant, your team's not impenetrable. Your team's not great. Cade Klubnik's not great. We've seen him. We know what he's capable of as a starter. He's good. He wouldn't be playing at Clemson if he wasn't good, but he's not great. Combining that with the transfer portal ridiculousness, Clemson doesn't have anything in their corner. But yeah, they're top 15. Give me a break. As I said, worst season in years. Because back in, you go back 10 years, 2013, 2014, Clemson was winning like 11 games a season. Now they're not even winning 10? But I'm supposed to buy into their stock? Two of the last three ACC title games, no Tigers. Forget losing the ACC title game. You didn't even make it. Not a good look. Number 15, we got Tennessee. They've won 20 games, I believe, in the last two seasons. They play in a tough conference. So winning that many games in spite of that, you're lingering around. I think if you have good quarterback play, you're going to be a darn good team. We'll keep you around. 15th, sure. Maybe a little bit lower. But I think if SEC bias rears its ugly head in the polls as we go through the season, which I'm warning you now, it will. 15th sounds about right for a good Tennessee team. After that, we got Oklahoma. Oklahoma is one spot below Tennessee. I don't really know why. Oklahoma, I've looked at their schedule. They have a very real chance to finish with like 9, maybe 10 wins by the end of the season. So around Tennessee level, they have lost Dylan Gabriel. That's a bummer. And they're just in new territory. Even if they can hold up, they are in new territory. They've got several tough games. So I think 16th is pretty good considering the list of concerns, but I think Oklahoma is going to prove that that ranking is not undeserved. They're going to prove, hey, listen, we're a good team. We're still a blue blood. We're still competitive. People act like Oklahoma and Texas are going to suck in the SEC. No, they're not. Oklahoma will be a ranked team. If they finish with around 9 wins, they could be around Tennessee's level. I'm all for it. 17th, Oklahoma State, that's fine. Their skill set changes like the weather. They'll they'll beat, you know, Alabama one week, they'll lose to Furman the next. I don't know what Oklahoma State's deal is, but if they win 9 or 10 games, good for them. Kansas State, same thing. 9, 10 win, Big 12 team. That's where you'll find yourself if you go 9-4. Maybe a little bit higher. Number 19, Miami. I said we'll touch on this team. Miami's very interesting to me, mainly because they are one of the biggest underachievers in college football every year. When you actually look at Miami, and I could dedicate a whole episode of the College Try to Miami alone and just how much they have failed over the course of the last 20 years in particular. It has been brutal. But I'm trying so hard to give them a benefit of the doubt here. Their schedule is so easy. It's so easy. You play Florida State and Louisville. Those are your two toughest games. You play them in back-to-back weeks. I believe they host Florida State. So the toughest team you play all year, you host, and you only lost to them by like 8 points or so, 7, 8 points last year. I think it may have been like 27-20, 28-20. I can't remember. It was something like that. So you gave them a run for their money. Sure, they were visibly the better team. I think you tacked on that touchdown later in the game to make it look closer. But nonetheless, it's not like they blew you out. It was a competitive game by the time the clock hit zero. There's so much potential here, especially now that you have Cam Ward, the star QB coming from Washington State. You have the coach, or at least I hope you do. If Cristobal ain't the guy, we're going to find out this year. You've got a good coach, great quarterback, great athlete. He's fantastic. And your schedule, I really don't think for a Power 4 schedule, it could be much more accommodating than it is. If you do not finish with 8 or 9 wins at the absolute minimum in your regular season, this might be... I don't think Miami's going to fire Cristobal, because I think they're going to take that and run with it with how their recent memory has been. But I think it foreshadows that they should. I think it foreshadows that they should fire him, because I think it foreshadows that they're not going to be a contender with him, and that's what they want. Being a contender in Miami is so long overdue. And I bring all this up, and I really die on this hill, because it serves as a pretty worthy preamble to the 20th-ranked team, Texas A&M. Oh, man, I tell you what. Texas A&M, you want to talk about underachieving. You want to talk about being a failure of a program for the past couple years. Texas A&M, I believe, has finished with a losing record, like a cumulative losing record, over the past couple years. And they play in the SEC. It is the toughest conference. And Oklahoma and Texas don't make it any easier. We've already touched on that. You do have a new head coach in Mike Elko. I think he can make you better. But if 8 to 9 wins is the peak, that's the peak. Your conference has gotten tougher, and that's the peak. That's what you've proven with the different coaches that have come and gone. How am I supposed to? It's similar to the Clemson question. What have you given me of substance recently, especially recently, that should put you in the top 20? I don't get it. But my throat's going to start hurting with how much I could talk about that. We're going to move on to Arizona. They're 21st. Arizona's got a new head coach. He's good. He's the San Jose State guy. San Jose State was decent under this dude. Brett Brennan, I think that's his name. If it's not, I'm sorry. But it's something like that. San Jose State was winning like 7 games. Being a winning team. Is it great? Absolutely not. But in what is considered one of the tougher Group of 5 conferences, I think it does show potential. And when you're taking over a Power 4 team that just won 10 games, I think there is potential there. I think the AP voters see that, and I give them credit for that. I think they look at Arizona, and it's like, okay, we'll give you this. You'll be lower end. You may be good. Maybe aight. You're not going to be great by any stretch of the imagination, but there's something there. You can remind us that you're still here, and a way to do that is to make the ranks. After that, we have one that I think is a bit questionable as far as underrated, the Kansas Jayhawks. Have you looked at Kansas's schedule? They've got a couple of toughies. They avoid Utah. Did you see what they did last year? They've got Lance Leopold, top 10 coach in the country, easy. You don't like it? Talk to a wall. I don't care. Lance Leopold's one of the best coaches in the country. He just took them to a 9-win season. A team that was perennially 1-2-win wonder took them to 9 wins, beat Oklahoma for the first time in a quarter century. He's one of the best coaches in the country. And they have Jalen Daniels returning. And their schedule, as I said, is accommodating. Some of the biggest hitters on their schedule, there's not many, and at least one of them they host. They play like Kansas State and West Virginia. Outside of that, it should be smooth sailing based on what they did last year. And I could be wrong. I think they host West Virginia. They may go to K-State, but they almost beat K-State last year. There's so much potential with this team. And if you win the Big 12, you make the playoff. I think if you can win the Big 12, make the CFP, that would be huge. And obviously, that is potential that transcends well beyond number 22 in the country. So I think Kansas is being disrespected here. I hope they understand that, and I hope they prove that. Number 23, we have USC. I'm cool with it. They just won 8 games. They've lost Caleb Williams, but it's Lincoln Riley. It's a big name. Riding on brand, arguably a bit here. But the potential's there for them to do decent. If they finish 8-4, we'll just say that. If they finish the regular season 8-4, they're going to be ranked. But I think, honestly, I think the AP may be kind of holding them lower here because it's like, okay, we don't have a lot of faith in you in the sense of if you lose, we'll kick you out. We're not going to give you chances. I don't think they're going to give Lincoln Riley in particular. Post Caleb Williams, I think they're done giving Lincoln Riley chances. We'll put you into top 25. You're a good coach. You are an athlete magnet. You're one of the foundational pieces of our sport. But we're not giving you an inch. If you fail, you're out. I think this is a warning to USC. I don't think it's just a matter of, they got something. No, I think that's part of it. I think the other part is we're not giving you anything that you don't give us first. I think this was a message sent by the AP voters. 24th, we have NC State. This is another one that I don't really whine about. NC State, they've won like 8 or 9 games these past couple years in the ACC. If they go, but I think they have potential to be better. I think they do have a window. Don't know how open it is, but I think they do have a window to the ACC title. They've never won it. They've never even played in an ACC title game. So they've greatly underachieved in the Atlantic Coast Conference. I think 8-4, based on what they could do, I think is probably a bit underwhelming, but it's realistic. 8-4 in the ACC gets you 24th in the country, most likely. Then we have Iowa. They round out our top 25. Woo! Iowa, oddly enough, I think they're being a bit disrespected. Iowa's been a punchline in college football for a while now. I think we look at Iowa and it's like, they don't have an offense, yada, yada, yada. And we just kind of wipe them off as some terrible team. They're not. In spite of their bad offense, they won 10 games last year and made the Big Ten title game. They're not. They are not some like total Neanderthal mediocre team. They're not. They are a capable team. They are a smart team. They are a kick you in the teeth team. They're hard hitters. They're big boys. In the Big Ten, they don't mess around. They're one of the most physically dominating teams in the country on the defensive side of the ball. Unless you have a great offense, you're probably not beating this team. That was proven last year when they went 10-2 in the regular season. You win 10 games in the Big Ten, you're better than 25th in the country. If Iowa has potential to win 9-10 games in the Big Ten again, they're going to be higher than 25th. So I think this is a bit disrespectful. I mean, don't get me wrong, Iowa's no contender. If you don't have an offense, you're not going to make a push because you're going to encounter great offenses. Defense is one half of the ball for a reason. It only gets you so far. It's just like, it's just like with trying to lose weight. I'm a heavier guy. You can eat healthier. You can work out more. But if I work out and then eat 3,000 calories a day, my weight loss routine is going to be greatly diminished. My progress is going to be greatly slowed because that's part of it. You have to eat better too. They're working out, but they got to eat better. You got a great defense, but you need that great offense too. Not even a great one at this point. Just give me something. That's your top 25. Looking at some others receiving votes. First one out is Louisville with 111 votes. Louisville, yeah, I think you could make an argument that they are more deserving to be ranked than some of these lower-end teams. I'm not going to make the argument, but I think one could if they cared enough to. Louisville won 10 games last year. I think they're going to worsen similarly to FSU, but I think they could still be good. The potential is absolutely still there. So I think this is just a matter of the AP looking at them and saying, hey, listen, you know, great job last season. We'll humor you, but we want to see a little bit from you first. After that, it's VaTech, ACC Dark Horse, Boise State, Mountain West Conference Powerhouse, SMU. That's interesting. I think SMU has the potential to win 8 games if they go bowling. I don't think SMU is going to linger in the ranks for too long, even if they see them. That's if they see them. I think the Power 4 level is going to be a bit too much for the Mustangs in their first season. Followed by that is Iowa State, Liberty, Washington. Shows how far they've fallen, but nobody's denying that. West Virginia with 17 votes. A little bit disrespectful. Memphis with 16. I'd say the same there. Nebraska has the same amount of AP votes right now as Memphis. Are you kidding me? Memphis just won didn't they win like 9 games last year? They're typically, I'm not saying they never have any dips, but they're consistently one of the better teams at the Group of 5 level. They used to be even better a few years back. They have the same amount, after all that they've done and after what they did last season, they have the same amount of votes as Nebraska, who's playing in a new and improved Big Ten and missed out on a bowl once again last year. Memphis may have finished with only 8 teams. I can't quite remember the count, but it's better than anything Nebraska's done in the last several years. So that's a bit harsh. After that, it's Wisconsin with 15, UTSA with 6, Tulane with 5. They'll probably take a step back. App State with 4. They're good, not great. Kentucky with 3. Yeah, Kentucky's mediocre. Auburn with 2, mediocre. And this, I thought this was funny. We're not going to go down the rabbit hole on this, but just as a humorous thing to finish off our first episode here, Colorado has a vote. Just looking at a quick rundown of these teams, I think Colorado did the worst last year. I think Colorado did the worst of everyone that's listed, every team that we've tackled today. So I guess there's just that one guy out there somewhere, one voter, who's like, you know what? I still believe. I don't know. But I don't believe Colorado's got a pretty tough schedule. We'll see how that turns out. But you know what? Whatever, Colorado. We'll give you that one little vote, I guess. You can keep that. All right. You've been listening to the College Try first episode. How about that? We'll be back next week. This is going to be a weekly thing. You've been listening to the College Try podcast. I'm Austin Price. I am so glad to be doing this for this season, and I'm sure we're going to get along swimmingly. Good night, everybody.